Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome to another episode of Blueprint for Wealth, where we feature special guests and special topics that are of interest to entrepreneurs all across the country and around the world. Today, I have a special guest, and I think you're going to want to stay tuned for the whole podcast. That's Colin Campbell. Welcome, Colin. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm excited to have you on. Colin is a unique guy. He's got unique characteristics. He's been a serial entrepreneur for over 30 years, and he's written a book called Start, Scale, Exit, and Repeat. What a great title. Serial Entrepreneur's Secrets Revealed. He's co-founded and scaled a variety of internet companies that have collectively reached a valuation of almost $1 billion. So we know he's a successful entrepreneur, and having successfully navigated the exits of companies like, is it called Two Cows?
Two Cows, that's correct. Yep.
Two Cows Interactive. I love the spelling. Internet Direct Canada, Hostopia, Geeks for Less, and the Club Domains. Campbell has not only cemented his name as a startup expert, but he's also collected an array of accolades, including spots on the Inc. 500, Inc. 5000 rosters for several years in a row. And he's a sought-after speaker in the world of entrepreneurship. So I'm very humbled and very pleased that he's on this show. Maybe someday I'll appear on his. You never know. But Colin, again, thank you. The first question that came to my mind is, you don't look very old. How did you do all this? Where did you come from to create this mystique of being a serial entrepreneur?
Well, you know, it really does start when you're young, right? Whether it's a paper route or selling puppy dogs at the flea market or working at the markets, flogging vegetables. I grew up in a family farm background, went to college in U of T here, and then right out of college, this thing called the internet was starting to take off. And although a lot of my friends are saying, it's just like for the geeks and whatnot, we thought there could be more applications. So we launched a company called Internet Direct. And within 6 years, it became the largest internet service provider in Canada. It went public. And it was just a tremendous explosion of people just getting on the internet. Now, think about this. We're going back to the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? When in the early 90s, and a lot of your listeners will not remember some of these terms and whatnot, what I'm going to say. But something called the World Wide Web had just launched through Mozilla. And that was in 1993. So pre that, it was all text. And it wasn't very exciting to a lot of people. But once Mozilla launched, it was now web-based and you had graphics and you could download things and it was more interactive. It began to attract a lot more people into it. My brother and I had run bulletin board services, BBSs. Sorry if I'm getting too geeky here. Yeah. But those were ways you could connect on the internet in Toronto. And we have the second largest in Canada, actually, bulletin board service. But what overshadowed that was this thing called the information superhighway, the internet. And we were able to launch an ISP in Toronto, go across Canada, and eventually take that company public. And that's not the end of the story. We'll get to the end of the story on that one in a few minutes.
Okay. So tell me, I've been working in the internet since it started as well. And before that, in fact, I worked in my practice before there were PCs. So learning how to use a Xerox copier. But the internet really has exploded in recent years. Where do you think it's headed?
So like we've gone through a number of paradigm shifts. And I talk about this in the book, Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. We had the opportunity to interview Jeffrey Moore, who wrote Crossing the Chasm, Inside the Tornado.
I've met him.
I was just like so excited to be able to do this. He agreed to an interview. And chapter 3 is devoted to catching the wave. And in the 90s, we caught that ISP wave I talked about with Two Cows, which was software download. We caught the software download sort of paradigm shift with Hostopia. It was email and web hosting for telecoms like Vodafone and British Telecom. So that was really all about cloud computing, which evolved out of the 2000s. Then you saw in 2006, roughly, you saw the rise of social media. 2010s, there's an app for that. 2015s, 2016s, the rise of the micro brands, e-commerce brands. 2020, right. Audio chat. You see where I'm going with this? And then there's the one. Yeah. Then there's the big one. that happened in 2023, which was the advent of ChatGPT 3.5. And that was really late 2022 when it first came out, but that has been a game changer. And let me tell you, this technological shift, this wave, will mint more millionaires than any other of those tech shifts that I've talked about. Even bigger than the advent of the internet, we're going to see so many people utilize AI to help them accelerate their growth, whether they're in the AI business or not, by the way. Wait, you don't have to be in the AI business. You can be running a business and applying AI to your business, or you can launch an AI business as well. I'd liken it to, have you seen the movie Iron Man, Tony Stark? I liken it to Tony Stark, putting on that suit. And that's the capabilities we all now have as founders and startups.
You know, it's amazing. I looked at your website, Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. Your ColinCampbell.com website, where you've got an Ask AI button on the site. And I did. I went into and it started asking questions. Some of the questions that you had listed there, which were really great. But then I asked some other questions. And it took a second and it produced information that was extremely relevant and extremely useful. And that's what I'm doing that with my practice of being a lawyer. Everyone is going to use it. Everyone should be using it. And how you've applied it right there on your website, I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, we're early on. It's still in beta. You know, obviously these things are brand new. I've been doing a lot of work with custom GPTs. If your users have not checked this out, if you've used OpenAI's ChatGPT, you can create custom GPTs and you can make them personal, or you can actually make them, put them on the store and make them public. And we just published a workbook for Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat, which breaks down each chapter of the book, the first section, Start, and it creates exercises, which you can fill out on paper. But at the bottom of the page is a QR code and a domain name where you can scan the QR code or type in the domain name and go directly to a custom GPT. By the way, custom GPTs, Wayne, this custom GPTs that I created, not my team. Like in the pack, I'm not a geek. I only aspire to be one. Okay.
Yeah.
I am not good at this stuff. Like I cannot build a website. I can't transfer a domain name after 30 years in running tech companies, but I can do custom GPTs. It's as easy as hell. We did a personality profile AI.com. It's phenomenal. It gives you your personality, your DISC profile in 16 questions. It also gives you your Myers-Briggs. And then it compares you to celebrities as well. And
I just
sat there for about an hour prompt engineering and working with this. And it's open to the public and it's free. Although if you don't have a paid membership, they have a lot of limitations on you can use it for 5 minutes and then they want you to pay $20 a month. But it's something that I use a lot. We're going down the AI bandwagon here.
I'm a huge supporter of it. Yeah. I think it's going to change everything the way we do it too. I mean, as an estate planner and a business planner, people will create their own documents. The question is, are they correct? Are they appropriate for what they're doing? But as things progress, it's going to disrupt pretty much every industry that we're dealing with. Manufacturing, law, accounting, everything is going to be disrupted. And I think it's really cool that you're doing it. Your book is spot on in terms of just breaking down entrepreneurship into, you know, simple steps. Start. You talk about failure in the book and how it shaped you. Tell me about how failure has made you a better entrepreneur or stronger entrepreneur.
All right. So I told you about this company we did in the 90s, largest internet service provider. We merged it in 99 with a telecom company called Look Communications. We were publicly traded at the time, so it was a publicly traded transaction. But we agreed to an 18-month lockup. Well, can you remember what happened in March of 2000?
I was working in an internet company sponsored by George Soros. I do remember.
So we had a judge announce that they wanted to break up Microsoft, and the NASDAQ fell from 5,000 to 4,000 that day.
Oh my God.
We were doing a $50 million offering, and our I was not CEO anymore. I was stepping back. I was running the division, the internet division. But remember, stock's all locked up. And so they said, well, let's delay the offering until the market's stronger. Well, Wayne, the market didn't get stronger. In fact, it fell to a low of 1,200 on the NASDAQ. Okay, it might have been like 1,150 or whatever. It was even lower than that. That's the point, you know. So what happened was this company that was trading at $19 a share at one time, and I had a 13% ownership of this billion-dollar company at the age of 29 years old, within 18 months was trading at 6 cents a share.
Yeah.
And that's what I sold my shares at, 6 cents a share, and it filed for bankruptcy protection. And it was just a disaster. It was a freaking wipeout. It was horrible. And I had 20, 30 millionaire employees that lost all their money because the decision I had made to exit this company and how I literally fucked it up. I can't say it. And there's no other way. I mean, to me, this today, it pains me to see how many people were affected and hurt by it and investors. We had a great company and we decided to exit, but we didn't do it the right way. And there's two key lessons, liquidity or control. I don't care who comes to me to start to buy a company. And I know there's exceptions to these rules, but I'm making a case that entrepreneurs should think about twice about selling a company unless they get the cash or liquidity. When I mean liquidity, I mean real liquidity, not some penny stock. Okay. Cash or liquidity. Or you're maintaining control. Two things, okay? The second thing is that bad things do happen. And do you remember 2021 when we had $500,000 board ape, cartoon ape pictures? Do you remember GameStop going to $300 a share? Do you remember all the insanity was occurring in the marketplace? And I talk about this in the book. We study cycles in the book, and I talk about this idea that Once you see the signs, exit stage left. Well, fast forward 1 year, IPO window almost completely shuts down. Right. We saw e-commerce companies. Yeah, and e-commerce companies lose about 90%. We're talking publicly traded companies lose about 90% of the smaller ones, not Amazon, but you know the smaller e-commerce companies like BarkBox and others lose about 90% of their shares, the value. Like, it was a complete wipeout, and we saw it happen over again. Bad things do happen. We saw a war break out the same year. We saw a hurricane hit, Hurricane Ian hit.
Yeah.
Why are all these relevant? Because the reality is we have 800 people at Geeks for Less, and they're located in Ukraine, right? We were 2 miles from the front line, right? We have a dozen or so properties on North Captiva got hit by almost a Cat 5 hurricane. The inflation was horrible. Interest rates killed startups in 2022. Bad things do happen. And sadly, it can also turn very bad. I have a good friend of mine who was in a real estate business who he'd done it. He had 100 employees, done it for 20 years. You know, the interest rates went up so much. There was no transactions. He ended up shutting the company down on Friday and committing suicide on Tuesday.
Oh, right? Lord.
I mean, like, bad things do happen. So I've made the thesis of this book, 10 years writing it, over 200 people interviewed. The thesis of this book is to start, scale, exit, take some money off the table, repeat. A little bit of a long heading, so I had to shorten it a little bit. But start, scale, exit, take some money off the table, repeat. Ladder up your wealth. This concept of laddering up wealth. And don't let your identity become the company. You're the CEO of this company. That's not your identity. Your identity is entrepreneur. And what you need to do is hone the skills of an entrepreneur and become a better and better entrepreneur. And when you do that, you can begin to see success occur over and over again. You see a lot of patterns. I've spent 30 years finding the patterns and 10 years writing this book. And over 200 people interviewed to find those patterns that serial entrepreneurs do to succeed over and over and over again. And then we break them down into that start, scale, exit, repeat. And within each section, we talk about the story, the people, the money, and the systems.
stories are very compelling, and you know, to learn from other people's mistakes, but also from their successes is really, really valuable. What are the key elements of being a successful entrepreneur? If you had to list the top three, five things that an entrepreneur must have in order to succeed.
So those who want to break from start and go into scale, I think that's a different mindset. And I'm going to go down to those four key components again: story, people, money, and systems. Your story changes. It's very different from when you're in start. Yes. When you're in start mode, think of Jeff Bezos. I'm going back to that. A lot of 90s analogies here, right? He's selling books on the internet in his garage. Okay. He could have just kept selling books forever and maybe done a pretty good job of it. Right. But the reality is, as he wanted to scale the company, his story changed. He became, you know, everything for everyone quickly, you know, basically. And you saw the way Netflix evolved. When you begin to rethink your story, it can change. And there's a component in the book we get into deep called the X factor. And this is something Jim Collins worked on, Vern Harnish has worked on, which I interviewed Vern Harnish twice for the book as well. It's really fun. Yeah. So X factor is something unique and different. Think Domino's Pizza, 30 minutes or free, right? Think National Car Rental. Just show up at the lot, get in the car and go. We're talking about breaking bottlenecks, eliminating bottlenecks. And when we do that, that can make a huge difference. And that is how we can change our story. And we did that with a company called Hostopia, where it took us 6 or 7 years. So don't panic if you haven't got it out of the gate. It took us 6 or 7 years to realize what we needed to be the best in the world at. And that was migrating websites. We were about to lose the Earthlink deal. And the day before we flew in, my CTO and I, we pitched them that we could do the migration better than anyone else. But then we added a nearly unbearable brand promise, a 100% migration guarantee. We'd be willing to pay them fair market value for every website and email lost. We're talking 80,000 websites and millions of email addresses. And we had been told 24 hours before that we were going to lose the deal. And they closed with us. After that, we got AT&T, we got Vodafone, we got British Telecom, we got every telecom across pretty much in South America, North America, South America, and Europe on our platform because of that X factor. That's just story. And I want to add, there is people, money, and systems. With people, the number one thing holding you back, Wayne, as an entrepreneur, is yourself.
Yes.
If you can begin to understand your personality profile, then who you are and what you're good at, you can put compliments to your profile around you. And I'm very big on the book about personality profiles. Then skills. We'll start focus first on profile and then skills. And we want to hire leaders. We want to delegate responsibilities and not tasks. My wife.
What constitutes a leader? Who is a good leader?
I was about to answer it sort of the wrong way here, but I hope I don't get in trouble. But my wife runs a school, and in that school, she has 16 employees, and she doesn't understand the concept of delegating responsibility. She's the one who runs it. So she's up at 3 o'clock in the morning every night, worried about this, worried about that, worried about this. Something wonderful happens when you begin to delegate responsibilities and not tasks. It's wonderful because you no longer stress about it, and others are going out there doing that for you. They're dealing with those issues and you're not thinking about it. See, entrepreneurship isn't a 9 to 5, it's 24 hours. You never not stop. Every one of your listeners knows exactly what I'm talking about. You don't stop thinking about it. You're always thinking about entrepreneurship. So what makes a great leader is someone who can delegate responsibilities, not tasks. Somebody who understands their personality profile and will hire leaders who are dominant personality profiles. I talk a lot about this in the book. Now, it's very hard to find leaders who have dominant personality profiles because they're running their own companies. Okay?
Right.
The other thing that's irritating.
Why should they work for you? Why should they come to work for you?
Irritating as hell. And one of the companies we talked about was Two Cows Software Download. It's now a domain company and also a telecom. And that guy that I hired in 1997 is still the CEO today, took it to over $500 million and helped us with a very significant exit when I was young. And that guy drove me freaking nuts. He really drove me nuts because he argued with everything. You know, I see a lot of mistakes a lot of leaders make as they surround themselves with yes men. And I'm not talking just at the smaller businesses. I'm talking about even at the top corporate America. I worked for a Fortune 500 company for 3 years at the very top after I sold one of my companies. And they were all yes people around the CEO. I was not. I was a no person. They hated me. They absolutely hated me. And you saw a lot of politics and the knives come out. So you got the story changes.
Are you naturally a no person? Are you naturally somebody who just says, no, that's not going to work? No. Aren't you a solution person? Aren't you a person that
comes up with? I wouldn't say I'm a no person. I'm actually the opposite. I'm one who has to get things done. I'm going to drive forward. I want to make things happen. No, right. But what I'm saying, in a corporate environment, I was a no person because in that environment, there was no risk taking. There was no, it was committee after committee. It was, you know, I would propose things and they would get shut down, or they would be doing the stupidest things I've ever seen. And I would say, guys, you're going to lose $5 million. And it would happen. And I did my 3 years. I did my commitment. Day it was over. I got out. But I learned a lot of lessons from working in corporate America. And the reality is big corporations, they don't want to take risks. Enter the entrepreneur. We want to take risks. We're willing to do that. So let's just let them buy us out once we get to a certain level. I'm okay with that. That's all about the exit.
I mean, entrepreneurs are the ones that are driving the future of our world, and not just the United States, but the world. We were talking before we got on today about India and how there are so many entrepreneurs that are part of your club from India because they're so enamored with the whole concept of entrepreneurship. And they think about it 24/7 because they're servicing a lot of U.S. companies as well. Why have you been able to continuously succeed? You failed, you know, occasionally, but through so many different ventures, you've had so much success as an entrepreneur. What would you attribute that to?
Okay, so I talked about changing your story when you want to scale. I talked about people. With money, it's about raising the right type of money for the right situation. But the key, I believe, that has made the difference with all my companies is systems. See, back in 2006, we were running a publicly traded company. Our revenue flatlined. A board of directors, we had fights amongst the management, fights amongst the board. A board of director came to me and said, Colin, I think you're over your head. And we need to start looking for a professional CEO. So I called up a friend and he introduced me to somebody named Patrick Tian. Patrick Tian runs a company called Rhythm Systems, which is pretty much the best execution goal setting software platform in the world combined with coaching. Okay. I went to him, met him in Vegas. I'm like, look, I don't need all your stuff here. I just need the board off my back. And he says, look, Con, I'm not going to work with you. He literally said, I'm not going to work with you unless you go in all the way. And that meant 2 days of strategic planning, 90 to 88 days of execution. It meant setting a 3-year goal, 1-year goal for the company, quarterly goal. It meant individual goals, 3 to 5 goals per person per quarter. We tracked those goals. We did winning moves. We did a number of strategic planning techniques that he trained me on. He was my coach. He's been my coach for now 20 years. He's been an amazing influence in my life, and his systems are by far, I think, one of the best. And, you know, there are other companies out there. There's Vern Harnish at Scale Up. And then you've got Traction as well, which has also got a lot of traction.
I'm a huge fan of Traction, yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of all of them. But yet, as an entrepreneur, we're an isolated island. So we use our instinct, right? When we first start out, we're going out, But at a certain point, you gotta go beyond that. Hostopia hit 600 employees. We had to learn how to scale culture. We had to learn how to scale operations, how to hire people, you know your company's changing when someone says, remember the good old days, right? Remember the good old days when it's like we had pizza and everybody's talked about this? Yeah, but you've got to be able to maintain a culture and you got to be able to scale that culture. And really, quite frankly, I didn't know what the heck I was doing when I was 36 years old, even after this is my third company and whatnot. But once we brought those systems in from Patrick Tian and Rhythm Systems, it made a huge difference. And we were able to scale that company, and we've applied it to every one of the other companies, including Pod.com, which has been now 4 years in a row on Inc. 5000 for one of the fastest growing companies in America.
What would you say is the key for entrepreneurs to a successful exit?
Yeah, I talk a lot about in the book about exits, and there's a lot of techniques, and we're really covering a lot of space and a lot of, we have stuff to come back and do some more, but there's a lot of techniques. One of them I say is 50% of the timing is 50% of value is timing. Okay. So we talked about 2022, 2021, pod.com, perfect example. I should have read my own book, whatever, wasn't published then, but back in 2021, pod.com was getting offers left, right, and center for people, companies to buy it. And then 2022, I mentioned e-commerce companies, you know, they crashed by about 90%. Fortunately, right, things are starting to come back. This is a period of time of entrepreneurship to build. We shouldn't be thinking about exiting at this stage. But then the market's going to come back and we're going to want to consider exiting in the future. You know, there's about five or six concepts, but one of them that I really want you to think about is selling your business to a strategic buyer. There are three types of buyers. You got your cash flow buyer, your competitor, and strategic buyer. You know, with cash flow, they're going to look at you at an earnings multiple. They're often private equity if you get into bigger right companies. And they're often right want to leverage. They want to leverage the trade.
Right.
And so you'll often see, especially with these high interest rates, they're going to want to see, let's say, a 15%, 18% return on money. And at that point, you're getting paid maybe like six times earnings, right? Depending on the company. There's many, many different companies, and subscription is much better than, you know, different industries. But let's just go for that for a minute. Is you know, they have to get that kind of return. And, you know, so you're getting just – that's your fair value. And then if you have a competitive bid, you know, when we sold to GoDaddy, .club domains, mm-hmm, it was interesting because it was half competitive and half strategic. So it was competitive in that they already had people running their domain TLDs. They ran .us and .biz and .co. So they didn't need our team. So they were able to eliminate our team completely, which don't freak out. Every one of my members of my team wanted to be bought out as well, because they all had a piece of the company. They all had a piece of the pie.
Everybody was an entrepreneur in the company. Everybody was an owner of the company. So exactly, they had an owner mindset, an entrepreneur mindset.
Correct, correct. And I'm a big believer in not getting rich alone. It's a lot more fun when you got people around you getting rich as well. So that, and also it does create that owner mindset. So they eliminated the expenses. Then you've got the third type, which are strategic buyers. And GoDaddy, I called them a strategic buyer as well, because they came in and they bought our company because they have massive distribution. They have many more registrars they sell their TLDs through. They have a much larger operation, and they can leverage .club. It's an alternative to .com, .net. They can leverage that and they can sell it to a much broader audience. So when they're coming to buy us, you know, it was a long process. I think it was about 2.5 years. First came to us and was like giving us this earnings multiple. I'm not allowed to talk about this in too much detail, right? He's a nice guy. Yeah. I won't mention names, but this earnings multiple is actually, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. We can raise prices $1 a year forever. You know, we can, our renewal rate's high. We have the highest usage rate. You know, we have all these statistics. And by the way, I like to use one-liners when we get into the exit and practice them, right? I think I repeated that we're going to raise the prices $1 a year forever for about 2.5 years in about six different meetings with different executives. Don't assume they all know. We actually did raise the price $1 a year for 2 years in a row, and we had lost no customers. And at that point, they said, okay, that's it. Here's the check. And they just wrote the check, and that was game over. And you're talking about a huge multiple on earnings, well beyond what you could ever get. I remember selling Hostopia. It was a publicly traded deal, so I can give you the numbers on that one. We sold for 17 times EBITDA. Okay. Our tax rate, the George W. Bush tax rate, was 15% on capital gains, right? We're a C corporation running 36% federal, 6% state, running 42% tax rate on earnings, and we were running 15% on capital gains. It would have taken us 20, 25 years to make our money back on that sale. just based on the different tax rates. So there's a tax argument for start, scale, exit, repeat. I mean, we really try to deconstruct the whole start, scale, exit. And I loved exit. I love that section. But I loved repeat more, because if you can repeat it, oh my gosh, just so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got to get this book. Everybody's got to get this book. Colin, how do we get this book?
All right. We are – today it was interesting. I just did a LinkedIn post that we are on Amazon. We are in the top 50 for starting a business, for the Audible book, for the hardcover book, and for the Kindle book. All three books. I think we're the only book that's got three in the top 50 on Amazon. And we had number one on small business last week on the Kindle.
Wow.
And we have a soft cover coming out, is coming out very, very shortly. So, you know, we've got four different ways to get it on Amazon. You can get it on any bookstore. We just got a deal done with Hudson's and WH Smith for all the airports as well. So hope you're walking through the airport. Hopefully you'll pick it up at Hudson's or WH Smith if it hasn't sold out.
I'll be there tomorrow. I'll pick one up. Be in the airport tomorrow. This has been great. It's inspiring to talk to you about start, scale, exit, and repeat. It's such a memorable title too. And I think everybody is going to benefit from buying this book and listening to your podcast too. So go to colincampbell.com. If you want to get more exposure to the AI, the new beta AI, to the blog, to the podcast, it's all there for you, as well as the book. And
yes, Colin, I congratulate you. It is colincampbell.com for myself. Ah. Also startup.club. Startup.club is the one where we post the podcast. And they're not really podcasts. They're like live shows that we do on Clubhouse. And we're starting to experiment now with Chatter from Meta. And Entree, which is another one. But startup.club, join the mailing list, you know, and we've got, I think, like you probably, we've got eight authors booked already for September, October. We're booking November right now. Authors and successful serial entrepreneurs. That book, 200 interviews, and only 50 of them made the book. And let me tell you this book was a compilation of stories that draw conclusions. And it wasn't just about successes, but also failure. It's all about decoding what it takes to start, scale, exit, repeat. And it does really, we wrote it for the ADHD entrepreneur. 57 chapters, 200 callouts, 30 sure. illustrations, yeah. four color code. It's color coded throughout the book. And Forbes is, I think it's their most successful book they've ever published, at least in 2023 and 2024. It's also won 12 awards.
Well, I can't compete with you on my book. I can't compete with you, but I definitely think it's a book that everybody needs to have on their bookshelf. So check it out. Start, scale, exit, repeat. Startup.club, right?
Yep.
And colincampbell.com.
Right.
So don't forget the C. It's very important. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody have a good week. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully with as exciting a guest as Colin. Stay tuned. Have a great week.